Good morning, and thank you for standing by. At this time, the conference is recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time, and you may begin.
Hi, this is Joe Anthony. I'm joined by Chris Bowserman and Dave Ostrowski. Together, we're going to take you through the Security Risk Management and Compliance portfolio overview today. We'll go through the key sections, key market drivers, and just give you a very good feel for what is the overall environment that we're out there working with our customers as we go through the different scenarios in the Smarter Planet, and just get a good feel for the kinds of drivers that are there and the kinds of solutions that IBM can bring to the table to help our customers in this environment. On chart two is an agenda. We'll go through looking at how the Smarter Planet helps set the context. A lot of our market-facing advertising, whether in print or on the TV, is oriented around a Smarter Planet message, has very good industry vertical integration and messages that relate very well to what customers are trying to deploy today. So definitely get a feel for how do you take those messages and put them into that industry vertical segmentation that we've been laying out with the marketing teams that resonates very well with customers that are in those verticals. And so we'll very specifically take a look at the three main areas that Tivoli and ISS, as well as some of the other brands that are driving the overall IBM security messages in the marketplace, the different offerings that at a high level fit into those three segments. On chart three, you know, where we're at with the Smarter Planet is very good. In terms of the level of integration that can be achieved is very impressive, as is the breadth of potential applications when you take a step back and think about what we can do for Smarter Planet case studies. Now, as an example, security is a fundamental building block in each individual Smarter Planet scenario that we pull together. So, you know, if you think about critical infrastructures, smart meters, et cetera, you take a look at that and the ability to be able to read that data, make sure that only the appropriate people are getting access to that data, although you are pulling it across the network that many different organizations and people may have access to, you need to be able to segment the information and make sure only the appropriate people are seeing the right subsets of data. So that becomes very important. And so as you lay that out, you'll see a very good segmentation of our capabilities that are there, and because you have that level of security that you can put in place, you can go ahead and leverage that information much better. When you get into centralizing healthcare records, as an example, exact same thing. There's a great set of benefits that can be provided by pulling together different healthcare-related information on a patient and get much better overall quality care, which is why we're driving, you know, at a national level to get digitized healthcare records, et cetera, but at the same time becomes a much bigger burden on the part of the organization to make sure all of that is secure and only accessed by the right people. So each one of these different areas, as you think through a Smarter Planet scenario, has very good benefits around automation as well as security and the overall compliance checks. And we can bring a lot to the table when we're talking with different organizations about that and have very good industry-specific vertical references to look at. On chart four, you get into an ability to take a look at just a wealth of explosion when it comes to devices and all the associated storage, and that's just not going to slow down anytime soon. You know, if you think back over just the previous few years, you see the number of devices exploding as far as different access points and how many different types of devices that any one individual use when accessing things. And this is not a phenomenon of any one geo. As you go and look across many different geography or areas, you'll see that the explosion of devices is very significant, and in some areas, areas that you thought would be very slow coming online, you know, analog telephone lines, et cetera, in some geos just never got out into the remote areas. Those areas were much more likely to have a much higher concentration of wireless devices, as an example. So the assumption should be this is only going to explode even more in the coming years. And you, as we put together secure end-to-end, very comprehensive security environments, it's very important. So you'll see us having to go ahead and stay with very strong investments across the breadth of different access points in order to have complete solutions. Chart five also breaks it down. I mean, everyone seems to think about only, you know, the deliberate external threats and try to put in protection mechanisms around that. The reality is you have just as big, if not bigger, insider threats that you have to worry about, because the type of information that insiders have access to is usually much broader than what an external could come in, and the levels of defense mechanisms all too often is much weaker on the inside. In addition, you also have to worry about all the inadvertent things. You know, power failures, you know, poor backup procedures, et cetera. There's a lot of things that people just don't think through, yet you have the same effect. If you lose power to a set of servers, that can have the same net effect to your customers as having a denial of service attack. So you need to do thorough planning end-to-end for all the different types of scenarios and make sure that whole environment is very thorough in there. And so as a result, the types of things that we need to help our customers through is very broad and comprehensive, and you can't afford to just do each one of these things on a silo. You need a very strong security fabric as part of the overall environment in order to pull it off. When you look at six, it's very key that we go ahead and do security by design. You know, previously in a number of environments, particularly in IT, security was always an afterthought and always done at a very superficial level. As we start getting into having much more serious consequences about inadequate security, it needs to be designed in up front as part of the core fabric to make sure it's as thorough as well as, you know, it's less expensive to do it up front than it is to try and do it as patchwork afterwards. So just keep that in mind. If customers push back on looking at security by design, you know, given the automobile, you know, examples, there's a number of other examples across different market segments where you can show them that, you know, security used to be an afterthought. It's well thought of, well integrated up front in the designs, and as a result, you end up with much safer, more secure environments as a result of that. Chart 7 gives you some examples of some of the industry verticals references that we have as a result of that overall smarter planning approach. So when you are going into a particular vertical, make sure that you take the time to go through, understand that environment, go ahead and pull some of the industry references associated with it so they can see the value of integrating that end-to-end security as part of that whole framework. There's a lot of very good examples of how people are cutting their costs while improving their security posture. So definitely make sure you take the time to understand the vertical references that are available to you. On chart 8, it really backs up and talks to the idea that we're not just going off designing new products and looking at acquisitions, you know, on an ad hoc basis. We really did step back about 3 years ago and pull together the IBM security framework. And a core reason for doing that is if you're familiar with ITIL, I-T-I-L, or COBIT, C-O-B-I-T, a number of the IT organizations that you're going to work with are very familiar with one or the other of those or both. And what's important is understanding what is the overall architecture and framework that an IT organization is going to pull together as they try to go ahead and pull together end-to-end IT infrastructure. And ITIL did a lot around systems management, was definitely a bit weaker on security. COBIT was much more thorough on the security implementation advice. And as a result, we've modeled our security framework around that. And you'll see that it's very detailed across those individual layers. You'll see some very good points of how do you go ahead and be more specific about what do you implement, how do you manage it. And then it also has very good integration points. So you have enough detail at the individual layers to have very good cohesiveness about what needs to occur for something like, you know, people and identity. But it also gets very specific about how do you go ahead and integrate across those. You want the ability to, once you identify someone, use that same information to apply it to which application should they get access to. And if they then want to go ahead and access data, go ahead and take that same information that you've already authenticated them for what type of role, et cetera, and flow that information across the layers. So you can make it very modular as well as more secure because of the approach that you're doing. It is not totally on a silo. You're leveraging that information across that infrastructure. On 9, try to expand that a little bit and give some examples about what is going on in each of those different layers. And it's very important. Each of those layers have specific functionality, but then, as I said, you transcend that information into other layers to make sure that you can tie all that together and get a very good end-to-end view about what's going on, including the overall governance, risk management, and compliance backplane. As you take a look at making sure that within your environment you can have these core capabilities, but you also need to be able to have a closed-loop view about what is actually going on in those layers, and is it, you know, according to your own internal standards? Is it according to FISMA, et cetera, GLBA, are you going ahead and tying all that information together and making it available to your end users, the auditors, et cetera, as is needed? And our investments are geared towards improving the capabilities across each of these layers, as well as that governance backplane. And when we take a look at how are we going to go ahead and deliver capabilities, it's going to be across the mixture. We'll have individual professional services where we help people, install, configure, make design and architectural decisions about what they want to do in their environment. But we'll also take it a step further in the managed services. If someone wants to have IBM go ahead and manage that environment for them, do a bunch of the upfront design, we can go ahead and do that entire infrastructure as part of a managed services offering. And then, of course, we also offer it as individual software and hardware products as well. So we'll work with an individual customer, understand their needs, and deliver it in a manner that's consistent with their business model. If you look at Chart 10, the three individual areas that we're going to focus on today are the identity and access assurance. So think about getting the right types of, people for the right types of information, consistent with the overall framework of what an individual company is working towards. The data and application security will be drilled down into by Chris Bowserman, and he'll take you through how do you go ahead and do all the app and data security end-to-end, throughout its life cycle. And then Dave will go ahead and take you through the overall data center and operational security. What are all the things that we're helping customers do to mitigate risk in their environment and make it more secure, more compliant? With that, I'll go ahead and start in the identity and access assurance area on Chart 11. What we're trying to address here is the full life cycle of employees, partners, and customers' identities from the original identification of someone is coming on board, you need to create new IDs to terminate their access and all the changes, usage, and auditing in between. It's a significant challenge that most organizations still do on an ad hoc basis today. So you're thinking about, someone that's been identified in, an LDAP system, SAP, et cetera, they need to go ahead and get the IDs created. They need to go ahead and make sure they're all authorized on day one. What is everything that goes into that whole process? And then back it up with all the ongoing usage as people change jobs, get new responsibilities, et cetera. How do you go ahead and manage that whole end-to-end set of things that are going on and monitor what is done with those entitlements? It's not good enough anymore just to know here's the 8 systems that people have had access to. Auditors, specifically in a number of core control jobs, want to know what are the people doing with those entitlements. Is it consistent with the intentions that was set up? Just because a bank teller has access to customer records each day doesn't mean they should be looking at necessarily 10,000 customer records if all their peers are only looking at 500 a day. So you definitely need to take into account what's going on as for actual usage, not just what the intended usage was as you go through it. And the core capabilities that we bring to bear from an IBM perspective address that. On Chart 12, as you go through and look at implementing identity access management, we can address the challenges that I brought up and actually get some good positive results. So you'll be able to go ahead and help customers with, quantifiable time to value. How quickly are they going to get to where their employees are getting access within that first day? How quick are you going to be able to show them that they can get audit reports, compliance check reports, et cetera, across their infrastructure? That should be very short periods of time, not years. And when you take a look at, going through that, a natural pushback would be, what's the cost to implement that? Done well, these are things that we can help customers get in place quickly and show them that quick time to value, and as a result, actually improve their security posture while at the same time, through the automation, decreasing their cost. So you will be able to show them a very good ROI for that investment to go ahead and have a good perception for their employees about quicker access, and the auditors from the terms of looking at having a comprehensive view about what the employees have been doing with their accesses and how can you go ahead and improve it. And this also gets back into that area about don't assume that anything that you find is necessarily bad intentioned bad things going on. There's a lot of times where inadequate training is causing employees to take shortcuts and as a result, creating security exposures. By looking at some of the closed-loop view of what is going on in the organization, you can detect things that aren't occurring the way they should, and you can correct those processes before an actual security exposure occurs. So you can look at the trends and stop them before it actually occurs. On chart 13, take a look at what actually goes on with identity access assurance. These are four quick areas that a lot of companies will start in this area. So in the top left, a very typical project will be either a single sign-on or password management. So a employer will want to go ahead and say, my individual employees have access to 10 different systems, would like them to have the ability to go ahead and just do a single sign-on in the morning and get access to all 10 applications. And they can even combine that with some stronger authentication as well. So they may tie in a biometric with a laptop and a single password, and that gets access to all 10 applications and does all the auditing so that you know what are people doing once they go ahead and attach to those 10 applications. In the top right, user provisioning and role management, this gets into the end-to-end lifecycle story of once someone is identified in an individual repository like SAP from an HR perspective, then you know they will have a role associated with that. You'll have some IDs are set up by company policy in that, say, everyone gets access to a Lotus Notes email on day one. No manager approvals needed for that. And then you also go through, and you may have some systems where someone's getting access to early quarterly information, and you want the CFO to approve that. So go ahead and set up all the IDs, capture any needed signatures and audit records, make those part of the overall compliance audit that's captured and kept in the system, and then do a closed-loop periodic review. You want to make sure that things haven't been changed by administrators on the systems inadvertently, and so you'll periodically even do a review of the back-end target systems and make sure that it's still per the company policy. So you have a very good closed-loop view about what's going on, and all those steps have been automated and captured. On the bottom left, the mainframe audit risks. Very strong thing here is the fact that we have an enterprise security hub with the mainframe. You can drive all these different security scenarios from the mainframe, not only for the things occurring on the mainframe, but on the distributed environment as well. So you have a very core area. All these functional capabilities we've been talking about, you can run from the mainframe and allow your customers who are mainframe-oriented to go ahead and get all those same values directly on the mainframe. That's a very strong statement. Their most secure server running their key security applications is a good conversation to have with them. And we have very comprehensive capabilities here, very strong around RACF as well as ACF2 and Top Secret in terms of overall management capabilities. So the vSecure portfolio is very strong here, as well as the rest of the security products that I've been talking about in this area. On the bottom right, our security log management, as well as our overall security information event management technology, is very core here. It's what allows you to get that closed-loop view about what's going on in your organization and understand what's really happening. So it's one thing to go ahead and set up these target systems. It's another to make sure that they're actually staying that way. On 14, gives you a little bit of insight into where we're investing going forward from an integration perspective. So you'll see us expanding on our identity access management governance technology, so things like, you know, role management, segregation of duties, access certification. We'll continue to invest in those areas to expand them out. We'll make sure, based on customer feedback, that we're making it even easier to deploy the products and cheaper to operate them. And from a systems E perspective, the mainframe is going to continue that very strong enterprise security hub story, and we'll go ahead and expand the breadth of capabilities that we can run there in the mainframe. With that, I'll turn it over to Chris, and I'll take you through the next section.
Thanks, Joe. Let's pick up on page 15 and talk about the challenges of data and application security. There are a number of major trends that are happening in the market today for our clients that are really driving an increased focus on data and application security. We think of what a smarter planet means in terms of smart grids, smart healthcare, smart cities. A couple of the big things that change the dynamics of their application infrastructure and their security needs are really the explosion of data when you look at medical records going digital versus paper, your homes and the meters now having a lot of crucial data that needs to be protected. And in addition to all the classic challenges we've seen in a lot of other industries like finance, public sector, and in the financial space. So we're seeing a lot more data out there. In fact, a lot of studies you'll see shows that the volume of data is doubling every 18 months, most of that being unstructured and non-traditional data in these new use cases. The other piece is the application infrastructure is really changing. So we're evolving and breaking down from a real fixed end-tier client server infrastructure or even web infrastructure. We're looking at much more of a dynamic composite service-based infrastructure that is looking at mobile devices, other non-traditional sources. So we really have to focus on how do we secure that data in those applications with really a loss of the perimeter, if you will. And so if we look at that, what that's also doing is it's creating, when you're going out and looking for opportunities for data and application security for clients, there's a lot of different people within your client organization that are going to care about different aspects of data and application security. So let's take a look at some of the challenges they may be having that really signal a buying opportunity. So we look at the chief risk or legal officers. Clearly, data disclosure and privacy compliance is a big issue. So data loss, data breach, losing confidential customer information, protecting information of citizens or customers by law in a number of different jurisdictions is a big issue. We're seeing in the United States that this is happening state by state, so that Nevada, for example, is saying every company, regardless if you're in retail or banking, needs to comply with PCI. Massachusetts is saying that all customer information must be encrypted. You also have similar regulations popping up in Singapore, Denmark, parts of Italy. So really you're having a patchwork of these requirements out there that clients need to have. If they're a multinational company or operating in these jurisdictions, they need to protect that information consistently. And, of course, that caused a lot of complexity, these different controls that then feed into issues for the chief security officer and the enterprise architects. Now, if you're looking from a line of business perspective or data custodian perspective, managing the costs of those data breaches can be substantial just in notifications, lawsuits, other claims, going up to hundreds of dollars per customer per record lost, and that's not even counting the impact of the brand or the reputation value of the company, which is often the most important asset on the balance sheet. Because of these changing environments of the changing application landscape, you really have a lot of composite applications, a lot more work with business partners and collaborative design, bringing in customers into the process, that making sure that the right people have access to the right data at the right time is also a key challenge, and be able to do that while maintaining privacy, while being compliant with the law and the regulations is also a key challenge. And that can kind of bleed over to the application or enterprise architect who are saying, how do I build new systems or exchanges or data sharing platforms that allow me to do this, given all these other challenges I have with legal compliance and privacy issues? And of course, from a CSO perspective, they care about all of this, but they also are looking at very much how do I protect the intellectual property of the company, and we'll also look at the data at rest and really be able to understand, are my systems secure? So do I really have a confidence that I can encrypt that data and then retrieve and back up that data as needed? Let's move on to page 16. I talk a little bit about some of the technology that needs to be brought to bear to solve some of these issues. So the first thing we look at is spanning the entire spectrum. And one of the key foundational controls of data and application security is looking at encrypting that data. So, of course, if you lose a backup tape, for example, and the backup tape has been encrypted and you have the security and integrity of the keys that you use to decrypt and unencrypt that data, the good thing is no one can read that data, so the data itself is safe, and from a compliance perspective, that gives what the lawyers call safe harbor, meaning if I'm a customer and I lose a backup tape and it's encrypted, I don't have to go through the process of notifying all my customers that's been a data loss, because even though the physical media has been lost, the data is unrecoverable by an outsider. So but of course you obviously then need to be able to prove you have the encryption keys, so that no one else could have intercepted those, and you need to make sure that you can actually have those keys to be able to read the data, back it up, restore it, et cetera. So that's a key thing need to be to have, which we can provide, is be able to manage that piece. Now, obviously, if you need to be able to collaborate with third parties, whether it be an example of an automotive supplier over in Germany wants to do collaborative design with both their Tier 1 automotive suppliers as well as their downstream suppliers, being able, through a secure portal, being able to provide access to design documents, so CAD-CAM drawings, other specs, being able to tie in through SAP, the supply chain, and be able to place, look at inventory and place orders, that's something that you need that's very crucial to the business, provides a lot of value, but obviously it's a lot of intellectual property risk. If the controls aren't very strong about which partner can access which information, making sure that each partnership is sort of kept with a Chinese wall between them, so we can provide solutions that can really help that secure, safe, collaborative data sharing between different parties. And of course, the more and more you get into Web 2.0 environments and start looking at these composite service-based applications, it's no longer sufficient to say, let's define the access control of that sharing at a web page level or something like that. You need to really get down to what is the actual service that you're protecting or the data element, such as what file, what CAD/CAM drawing, or what elements of the database you're actually allowing a partner access to. So being able to make sure we can provide that as a reusable platform for new secure and compliant application design and development. Of course, you have to have visibility here, be able to understand, both from a compliance perspective, you can pull all the audit logs in the same spot for reporting and forensics, but also very importantly, as Joe mentioned, being able to look and see, you know, is what's happening appropriate. So if we went through the Internet Access Assurance piece, we provided the ability to say these users can access these systems, again, making sure we can tie that together and say, but are they really using it in a way that's consistent with their job, their role, their context for the business, or are they abusing those privileges? Being able to detect and stop insider threats before it happens, because as Joe mentioned, that is really one of the most damaging incidents as a known an educated insider really knowing where to hit you and get the most sensitive data. And of course, then we look through being able to protect the underlying infrastructure, the data services, or the data servers, being able to secure these servers, lock them down, prevent privileged users like a root user from accessing the data or doing other unauthorized changes or releases of software that would cause risk, including virtual servers. So as Dave will talk about in a moment, the virtual server problem is something that, from a security perspective, that a lot of clients aren't aware of, and we have a true market-leading solution that can help you with that. I've moved to page 17. Let's talk about a couple of hot new acquisitions that IBM has made recently in the data and application security space. As I mentioned before, things are changing dramatically here, and so we're really investing to stay ahead of the threat for our clients here. The first one I'll talk about here is the Guardium acquisition. So this is an acquisition that was made recently to really provide in-depth auditing and monitoring of what database transactions from a compliance, insider threat, and audit perspective. One of the big challenges, of course, in understanding what's going on is looking at this key sort of critical structured data, whether it be Oracle, DB2, SQL Server, or others. So we've got a way to consistently audit and monitor that information across all different systems automatically. One of the really powerful aspects of this is that it's a bump-on-the-wire approach, so you don't have any performance impact to the database. One of the big reasons that DBAs will hesitate to do a level of in-depth monitoring on who's accessing their databases is because they're concerned that turning on verbose auditing in a database will take down performance of the database. And so we can do that without any impact whatsoever. We can also provide another line of defense written for the database for attacks like SQL injection. So Dave will talk about many other layers of defense we can provide in front of that, but we also be able to find another bulkhead, if you will, for the data itself. The other great piece of this is having that visibility of what's happening in your database is very important, but you also, from a compliance and true risk management perspective, need to understand where are my threats happening across the entire stack. So what about my network devices, my infrastructure, my operating systems, my applications, my security tools, other data services? So the Guardium component will fit very nicely into our overall security information event management platform, providing this very high-impact data for the databases, and then tie that together with all the other pieces, whether it be looking at and provide that sort of 360 view of forensics and compliance to say, okay, we saw an individual here who was looking like they were doing an inappropriate database query, their DBA. What else they're doing? Oh, they're also trying to go through and do some things that were inappropriate SAP, and they tried to hack through a firewall from their IP address using a different ID. So you can really get that whole visibility end-to-end. Move to page 18. Joe mentioned up front one of the big challenges is, or one of the big challenges we're helping our clients with is really taking a secure by design philosophy. The recent X-Force report, which you can pick up and distribute to our clients on IBM.com, really presents the sort of state of the world of security threats. And one of the big things it showed this year, as it has in recent years, is that web application vulnerabilities continue to be by far the biggest exploit that outside bad guys are using to get in, wreak havoc, steal data, and cause real economic and damage to our clients. With this recent acquisition of Ounce Labs, we've really rounded out the entire end-to-end life cycle of helping our clients design, build, test, and verify their applications pre-production and in production are really secure and free from vulnerabilities like cross-site scripting, SQL injection, and many, many other attacks or vulnerability vectors. One of the things the Ounce Lab acquisition gives us, which is a very powerful way to not only detect these issues, but also have a lot greater ROI or total cost of ownership advantage in fixing them, is it allows us to do white box testing in addition to the black box testing. Meaning if you're an application developer, you go through, you run some tests, you not only see, hey, I've done something here that leaves my application open to a SQL injection attack, well, now I don't have to go down and trace back and sort of look through the code myself and figure out where might that be. This can help me within the integrated development environment, the same place, maybe the Eclipse toolkit that I'm using to build my application, say, look in this section of your code. We think this might be where the vulnerability is. So great end-to-end story, great visibility, and a great way to help our clients really get ahead of the threat. If you look at page 19, let's talk about sort of some general entry points. You're out visiting clients looking, where can we provide quick hits and help today to get served in application security. In the upper left, the Portal Security and Federation. So I mentioned the example of collaborative design or sharing information with partners and customers. A big part of that is having a portal set up. If we look at our, a good example of this, in IBM is the IBM partner world, right? Now, if we think of other clients who are doing financial services between different parties or a collaborative supply chain in the manufacturing and retail environment, our clients are really collaborating all the time and sharing lots of sensitive information. For a federated identity manager product, we can provide a great way to very cost-effectively connect between a client and multiple partners securely without having to take on the cost and expense of managing all that partner's individual user IDs. We'll connect them and give them a seamless single sign-on, but we're also able to do that and provide a level of granularity about what they can and can't see on the partner's portal, both from the outside users coming in and that client's users going out. And it provide a nice audit trail so you can have all that in one spot and make sure that things really are happening as appropriate. It's also a great use case for post-acquisition or merger where you're able to do the same thing with different domains inside the acquired company, have a really quick ROI to get those systems connected without having to do a forklift movement of identities in the directory structure or do a lot of application redesign. The upper right-hand corner, there on page 19, data privacy compliance. So one of the things that we can do, and Dave will talk in a moment about a lot of our network intrusion prevention platforms, both on the network gateway and on the server environment, is we can add a lot of value there by being able to detect what kind of personally identifiable information might be leaving your network. So providing some visibility and some quick blocking there to say, are you leaking credit cards out? Are you looking at other inappropriate information, like personal health information that's going out the door that shouldn't be? In addition to providing a lot of really sophisticated protection against outside threats and vulnerabilities that Dave will go through in a moment. At the bottom left, one of the things that's a great advantage for workforce productivity but also a big pain in the butt for security administrators and auditors is the explosion of a lot of the different collaboration platforms that can be very easily set up on a department or team level without tying in centrally by default. So if we look at things like SharePoint. This is something where clients really have these pop up. But if we look at what happened with Active Directory and how clients have a lot of entitlements and groups in Active Directory that kind of were user driven over the years, that they really don't understand, that's a bad situation to be in when you're trying to do audits and clean up access rights and really know what people have access to. what we can do with our Typically Security Policy Manager is provide a way to centrally manage all those pieces together with a consistent security policy that's compliant, and be able to really bring those under control, save a lot of admin overhead time, but also make sure that you don't have any rogue SharePoint sets out there that are sharing information inappropriately and having compliance violations. A similar challenge, clients are deploying at Data Power, and they're putting multiple Data Power appliances out in their environment. We can really help provide a value to manage and administer those in a central way, and we'll talk about it in a couple of slides here. You know, that's important when you look at things like PCI compliance or just making sure that certain information is kept confidential in a consistent place, and it's not you don't have inconsistent policies between different SharePoint appliances. In the bottom right, storage encryption key management. So I mentioned encryption being a key foundation for a lot of data and application security, as well as being something that is a really being prescribed by law in a lot of different places. What we can do as part of a total solution with IBM System Storage is provide a way on the storage side, so enterprise enterprise backup tape, enterprise disk array, be able to encrypt in the firmware or in the hardware itself, so at very high speed, very high performance, with no overhead, the entire disk or entire tape, be able to provide compliance and integrity of that data if the case is ever lost or stolen, and be able to easily manage the life cycle of that encryption data or the encryption keys, so that, again, you're able to generate those keys, back them up, restore them, and then, of course, destroy them if need be, and provide a consistent audit trail for your auditors. Move on to page 20. Just a little bit of an explanation here of some of the some things we can do in terms of those consistent security policies I mentioned that are so important now as clients are looking at these smarter plan initiatives where traditional application barriers are broken down. So one example here is if we look at sort of PCI information, so looking at credit card information, needing to be encrypted everywhere it goes. That includes going across the enterprise services bus. It includes going across different parts of the application environment where it's stored. We can define a consistent policy that says everywhere this piece of data goes, wherever it is, it needs to be encrypted and signed and certified. So that can be a policy that is then implemented in each of the different systems. Now if you look at page 21, our Typically Security Policy Manager allows you to put that straightforward rule in a single spot and then implement that and distribute to various policy enforcement points, whether this be databases like Oracle or DB2, the application layer, so looking at WebSphere, .NET platforms, or looking at, again, content management systems like FileNet or SharePoint, and providing consistent control. Another good use case of this, too, is we look at this and say, you know, medical records, say, you know, a parent should be able to see their child's medical record up until they're 15. At that point, there's a privacy issue, and we can do that context-based assessment, you know, and be able to do this in a way that's not hard-coding or baking into the application, but reusing it across multiple platforms. So, again, a really powerful tool here. I think a lot of opportunities to sell this into the application owner line of business. Looking at page 22, so where are we going in terms of future direction? So one of the big things we're looking at is content-aware access controls, taking this information about that context of the data and really making the access controls much more intelligent, preventing going beyond traditional data loss techniques and being able to really address the root cause issues of this and make sure that our clients really are able to access only the data they need to, where they need to, at the appropriate time. Again, really getting the application security and content control, so providing a really some increased effectiveness for blocking outside threats based on the users going to bad websites, as well as providing an end-to-end control over users, known users accessing your known systems in your data center, as well as hybrid cloud web services. Continuing to look at, as we mentioned with the Guardium and SIEM, this end-to-end compliance visibility, continuing to expand that, and of course standards leadership here. So whether it be our KMIP standards leadership with encryption key management, whether it be our standards leadership and federation with SAML WS Trust, or our standards leadership when it comes to building these entitlement management or application security systems with XACML. continue to drive this and lead this to be the most open, secure platform for data application security. Now I'll hand it off to Dave Ostrowski here on page 23 to take you through the operational security aspects of our portfolio.
Thanks so much, Chris. I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about, as Chris mentioned, data center and operational security facet of our portfolio. So these products and tools can be used to enable protection for the data center and as a first line of defense within the operational security environment. On slide 23, I wanted to illustrate that really, you know, the threats continue to evolve, and we as a leading security company need to and are keeping pace with the evolution of these threats. Every day we read about new threats that have come out, new techniques that are employed. And a point of emphasis is really the hackers have shifted from one of fame and glory 5 or 10 years ago, hey, I defaced your website or I've done this to your organization, to really one where they're concentrating now on making money. How do they make money? They can steal CPU and computing resources, use that to deliver spam, or they can do direct extortion by you know, stealing data or intellectual property. On slide 24, I wanted to illustrate that although the threat landscape is changing, we have to pay equally important attention to how we position our products to our customers. There is a facet of, hey, we can take these threats away from your environment, but there's an equally important positioning of our portfolio as an enablement conduit for our customer's service delivery platform. If you look at any IT organization, they're hosting servers, applications, and a network whose mission is to be there to serve the business. And really, when you look at our portfolio, we're all about maintaining the integrity and availability of those services. And so, yes, we keep pace with the threat landscape, but we do so to make sure that the web servers, that the databases, that the information within that network is available to generate revenue for our customers. On slide 25, let's talk a little bit in detail about the different elements that are within our portfolio. We have a network element, and these tools are traditionally installed within the network itself. You can best think of these as filters for the network, mechanisms by which we'll look at what's happening on the network and ensure that harmful activity is not taking place. We have a server portfolio. Within this portfolio, we will install ourselves on a server and preserve the integrity of the server by defending the server and also meeting our compliance objectives by reviewing who's doing what to the server and preserving forensic evidence as to when that occurred. We have a virtualization portfolio, and this is a really up-and-coming part of our portfolio where we're enabling organizations to realize the benefits of virtualization by removing the security hurdles to adopting virtualization. We'll get into some of the specifics. We're going to drill down in that area. And finally, how it all comes together with our security event log and management system that provides both reporting and an opportunity for our customers to meet their compliance objective. Those are the facets that I'm going to concentrate on. On slide 26, this is a quick summary of the specific solutions. So I'm going to talk about how these solutions can be employed in a few slides and drill into the details. But at a high level, our network IPS solution is what ISS was famous for. And as we've integrated this portfolio, we've gotten a lot of attention in IBM for a couple of reasons. It's easy to implement, and it does a great job of reading the network of malware and malicious intent. In other words, that filtering element that you can sit in line within the network and rest assured our X-Force and the IBM research and development teams can ensure that the integrity of the network is preserved. Our unified threat management solutions, often referred to as the Swiss Army knife of security, it enables multiple layers of protection. A few of them are firewall capabilities, the IPS I just spoke of, the VPN solution, and the content filtering in terms of URL filtering. These are just four of seven or so blades that are within this product. It's most appealing for geographically dispersed entities, things like retail chains or insurance companies, banks where you have a lot of branches. Some of our biggest deals come from these sectors. And in this case, it's all centrally managed in our management solutions that I spoke to in the previous slide. Our virtual infrastructure protection enables our customers, as I mentioned, to grab the business benefits of virtualization and do so in a secured fashion. Our virtual server security anchors this facet of the portfolio, and we'll drill into the details. Our server protection, the brand name here, the product name, will IBM Security Server and Server Sensor will enable our customers to meet their compliance objectives by protecting their individual servers and identifying and preserving the files that are within those servers, monitoring those files, and monitoring the access and who's been accessing any individual server. And then security management, including our IBM Security Site Protector solution and our Tivoli Security Information and Event Management solution, providing a 360-degree view of security within an organization. Moving on to slide 27. The main strategy that we have for our portfolio is to enable business objectives by removing the complexity and operational cost of security. So the better that we're able to remove, you know, a team of security professionals to having to be hired by our customers and enabling few resources or even better, part-time resources to be capable of both installing, deploying, operationalizing our security portfolio, the better we're serving our customers. It enables them to concentrate on their essential business functions. And that's really what our strategy is. Remove that burden, reduce the cost, and allow the products that we deliver to, as close to automatically as we can, enable the IBM X-Force to provide that threat protection for our customers. Moving on to slide 28, what are the complexities? I want to drill into the virtualization portfolio a bit. This is the newest addition to the portfolio and has garnered a lot of attention. Many organizations quickly are able to see the business benefits of virtualization. They see that they can save hardware footprint, they can maximize their utilization of their CPU and memory that they've already purchased and acquired and have installed, but they're fearful. They're fearful of what could happen in the event of a compromise, and in some cases, they're constrained to adopt this virtualization and realize those business benefits until they have adequate security provisions. So this facet of our portfolio enables them to realize on that. Let me point out a couple of specifics. When you've got a virtual environment, often you patch and update your VMware image to the appropriate level. But often security or administrators or system administrators, when something goes awry, will roll back that solution to a previous version. Now, that's often an unpatched version, and you have to go through the whole routine again. By implementing a solution like virtual server security, you can have the protection, essentially a virtual patch, not for just one server, but for the entire VMware environment. So that's the business benefit and really what this facet of the portfolio is all about. On slide 29, why is virtualization security important? There's really three reasons and three ways in which we want to talk to our customers about this product. Firstly, we remove risk. As I mentioned with the network IPS portfolio, it acts as a filtering element to ensure that bad stuff doesn't affect the servers. That is fully integrated in the virtual server security. The second way in which we want to bring this product to our customers is to talk about their compliance objectives. Often in their compliance standards, it dictates or requires controls in order to monitor and ensure the integrity of data. This is an ideal solution to do that. And finally, operational efficiency. This product is managed in the same manner as the rest of our portfolio. In other words, for the already existing 5,000 customers that we have on the ISS products, the historical heritage products, they can use the IBM Site Protector Management solution and quickly adopt this. They don't have to learn a new system, and they gain those operational efficiencies. Likewise, when it comes to compliance and event reporting, they can use the Tivoli Security Information and Event Management solution 2.0, just released, fully supports the information coming from this product. So again, our customers don't have a big leap of operational cost to get going with this product. Let's take a look at the different facets of protection that the virtual server security product provides. Vulnerabilities are discovered every day. This product shields those vulnerabilities from exploit. A second facet is with server sprawl. Oftentimes, system administrators keep turning on new and new virtual images within the virtual server farm. This is referred to as server sprawl, and often, as I mentioned before, even without a rollback, it causes new patching objectives, and it's very hard to deal with where all of these images even exist. This product, it doesn't matter. We're able to employ our protection regardless of what's behind it, and that's because, as I'll point out on the next point, we're installed at the hypervisor level, so we don't require an installation within each of the virtual images themselves. We also have technologies within the product to provide rootkit protection. So when a server is compromised, it often a hacker installs a rootkit, which acts as a shim for additional software to be installed remotely from a control center. And in this case, we'll detect the rootkits and prevent them in the first place from being installed, and in this way preserve the integrity of the virtual server farm. Moving on to slide 31. We support the VMware vSphere 4.0, and we'll provide protection, compliance, ROA, and I also wanted to mention uptime and availability. So this is another way, another mechanism that we can approach our customers. If they want to ensure that these services are available for their customers, speaking to an IT department who's providing these services, this is an ideal product to increase, or sometimes I say add another 9 in 5 nines of reliability. By removing the threat spectrum element, you know, we can position this as an increase above their already high SLAs that they deliver to their internal community. Moving on to slide 32. We have a broad portfolio, and we provide protection for every layer of the network. And really, with this product, we're extending every layer of the network to include every layer of the virtual network as well. We see that this transition is well underway, that customers are clamoring for those business benefits of virtualization, and it's imperative that we allow our customers to know that this product's out there, that it's already employed by several customers. We have references that can illustrate how this is employed with other customers. And it's also important to understand that cloud is of the mindset of our customers today, and one of the main imperatives of cloud is to maximize their virtual facet or virtual platforms within the cloud. And this is an ideal solution to help both with private and with public cloud protection as well. I did want to pay attention on the next slide, 33, to our IBM X-Force. This is really our applied research and development entity within IBM, chartered with protection and security. Applied in the context of we come up with protection solutions and we rapidly integrate them into the more than 50 products that exist in our security portfolio. So this is alive and well at IBM, and part of the differentiator of IBM security is our ability to operationalize to apply the research and development efforts of our X-Force to all of our solutions, and we'll be developing more and more of this as our security portfolio grows. Why IBM? And slide 34, when you look at IBM, we were recently recognized by SC Magazine as having, for this year, the best security company on the face of the planet. We've got all elements that any enterprise requires, from services to ideal solutions and a brand that is recognized like no other. And really, we want to be those trusted advisors to our customers. If we can advise our customers, in fact, you know, yesterday I was at a customer in New York City, and the customer was a federal customer. They were very hungry for IBM's advice. They wanted to sit down with us, look at our portfolio, and have us understand their business objectives and how we can employ our portfolio and apply that to their environment. This is really what our emphasis needs to be over the next year. In closing, on slide 35, the IBM security framework and our security portfolio is really like no other. 15,000 researchers, I mean, huge numbers of solutions, a history that stands behind it, and in tons, tons of great people that are really pooling together to make this a reality. So we look forward to working with you over the coming year. If you have questions, Joe, Chris, or I stand ready and available to assist in bringing our security portfolio to market.